When he fell, everyone from then until Christ put his blood on the mercy seat had a dead spirit. From then on, mankind was able to have an alive spirit because the spirit was able to come into him. Why? Because of the blood. The spirit could not come in if there was sin. And when he cleanses you from sin, the spirit of God can come into you and make you a new creation. You are a new, different creation that has never lived on this earth before. Amen. None of the apostles prior to accepting Christ had that life spirit. None of the prophets of the Old Testament had that life spirit. They had the Holy Spirit on them, but we have the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. A difference. And do you know, want to know something? Those who live through the tribulation are not going to have that. They will be following Christ and living here on earth. We are going to be in eternity saying, oh, you're those that have you're the redeemed. You had the Spirit of God in you. What's that like? We are a different entity. The angels don't have it. The prophets of old didn't have it. Moses didn't have it. The church does. It's the Spirit in you that makes you different. It's a spirit life. And you begin to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. If you look at your life before you accepted Christ and your life now, you should see more of the fruit of the Spirit. Because when something, a seed is planted in you, fruit should be growing. There should be a harvest. So let's go to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, how many have Christ's presence in you? The result of His presence in us is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The law points out sin. The Spirit changes you with life. Amen? The Lord gave me something this morning. I believe I wasn't sure where this was going to fit. People live their lives in lies and striving after the wind. God wants so much more for you. He wants you to live in truth and with purpose. Ecclesiastes 1:14 says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, when we get saved, this is the fruit that should start coming out of our lives. We shouldn't just be going around grasping for wind, chasing the wind, this, that, and the other. We should not be chasing after things that don't provide fruit and harvest in us. We should not be striving or living our lives out in lies and striving after the wind. We should be living in truth and with a purpose. And that purpose is what we're qualified for. To be ministers of the gospel, ministers of reconciliation. You say, well, I don't have a minister's title. I've never been ordained or licensed. God never said that. That wasn't what he was talking about. He qualifies those he calls. He's called all of us because many are called, but few are chosen. The ones that are chosen are those that are willing to serve and live that spirit life. Yeah. I've asked Jesus Christ into my life. That makes you qualified. Oh, but I got to get better. I got to get this, that, and the other. Let the fruit grow. The seed was put in you. Let the fruit grow. Let there be a harvest, a bountiful harvest of that. If you're not seeing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, go check the ground. You got rocks in there or you got weeds in there. Get those out because the ground and the soil in your heart is good and the seed will grow fruit. You may have to do some gardening. Because see, Adam was made a gardener in the garden to tend the garden. He wasn't told to plant anything. God planted the garden. He tended it. We tend the garden. God planted the garden in us. There should be fruit. So when you get into your own heart, you see rocks, get them out. Okay, Lord, this doesn't belong here. It's not bearing fruit, so I'm getting it out. Tend your garden and see the fruit grow. John 14, we're also told that this spirit life brings truth. Starting with verse 12. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior, not just believes in me, but believes in me as Savior. What does Romans say? If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess him as Lord, you'll be saved. There are many out there that believe him as in who he is. He's the Son of God. What did the demon say? Have you come to torment us before our time? They knew who he was. And he said, be silent. Come out on them. See, it's not that the devils don't believe. They believe and they tremble. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do things that I do. This is talking about a believer. You've asked Christ into your heart and life, you will do the things that he did. And he will do even greater things than these in extent and outreach because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name as my representative. This I will do so that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son. Every time you ask for God to do something in Jesus' name and it's done, God the Father gets the glory. It's not your glory. It's not even Christ's glory. The Father gets the glory that those who have been extended grace are doing what the Word says in the name of the Son as his representative here on earth, and the Father gets the glory. You're honoring God when you do what God says. When you pray for somebody to be healed and they get healed, you're honoring God. God is showered with the Father is showered with the glory. If you ask me anything in my name as my representative, I will do it. Well, I don't get my prayers answered. How are you praying? Well, I don't see it answered. I've been asking, but that new Cadillac's not in my driveway. Does Jesus need a new Cadillac? Does the Father need a new Cadillac? If he told you to pray for a Cadillac, great. But if you're praying for one to heap it on yourselves, you're not praying according to the will of God. You're praying to heap it on yourself. But if you're praying according to this so that the Father will be glorified, he says he'll do it. If you really love me, wow. Not if you love me. Remember when Peter was asked, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. Do you imagine how terrified he was or hurt he was? I just told you. I'm not lying. You don't believe me? That the Lord would ask him 3 times in a row? Some preachers said that he had to do penance, that he denied him 3 times. He had to reverse it by saying it 3 times over. Jesus was trying to get his attention. But here in John 14, if you really love me, does that mean there's people that don't really love Jesus that say they do? If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. I thought this walk with Christ, that the law was taken care of and there weren't any commandments. Jesus said there were. He goes on to say, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, a standby to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. This was before the cross that he said this. After he went to the Father, he would send the Holy Spirit. They got saved after he put his blood on the mercy seat. And that's when the Holy Spirit came into them and made them a new living creature. What they did before that, when they saw demons cast out and saw people being healed, was the Holy Spirit on them, not in them. In his name. You not only have his name, you have the same Spirit, the third person of the Trinity in you. In you. You see a sick person and you're moved with compassion, go pray for them. You go watch Christ's life. He walked from place of prayer to place of prayer. And when he was moved with compassion, he healed people. He delivered people. Let the compassion of God move you to make a difference. Our life in Christ will be and should be a changed life. We should be doing more than what Christ did. He changes us. He works with us. And he will answer our prayers for ministry. He provides us the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, to manifest his work. Ephesians chapter 1, I don't have a slide for this, so don't try to locate it. No, you're kind of used to that by now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In him you have trusted." After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's salvation. That's not Pentecostalism. That's not being filled with the Spirit. That is being sealed by the Holy Spirit. One of the three entities of God that was there when they said, "Let us make man in our image." And in the beginning, Barashit Elohim, in the beginning, gods created the heavens and the earth. One of the three entities has come into you when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and life. We say ask Jesus Christ, but it's the Spirit of God that came into you as seed and made your spirit alive. He shall be with you. And he will be in you. Understand, you carry a part of God in you. That's what made you alive as a living spirit. You're not the same. You should be living differently. You should be affecting this world differently. You have a portion of the Godhead in you as a living entity. Hallelujah. Amen. We were sealed. Sealed. There's no way that I could go into me and take that part of me that came from my father and my mother and separate them again and stop being who I am. They together, I am the product of them, and everything I am in every cell of my body is a product of both of those unions. As a believer, you cannot separate out the Spirit of God from any part of your spirit. You are the product of that union. You are sealed. If you want to use another term, hermetically sealed. You can't. You ever seen one of those? The bug in rosin, you go to the tourist traps and they've got the bug and they've got the rock and they've got the different things, or the scorpion, and it's in rosin. You try to take that back out of there. You can cut it in half. You can try to chip it away. It has become one with that rosin, that resin. It's no longer a bug and that resin. They became one. They're bonded. You're not getting them apart. The Spirit in you has bonded to such a point that you cannot be separated from that. You are sealed by his Holy Spirit. Go and do the works that he has in his heart and mind to do in this world. Yes. Amen. Yes. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we read, I am giving you a new commandment. This was before the cross. I am giving you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. So you too are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. The church, we were talking earlier about the universal church, the church throughout the world that says they're the church, but they don't have the blood of Christ. They have not been sealed by the Holy Spirit. They haven't accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. They're doing their own thing, and they want to include everybody. I say, well, you should love. Yes, you should. But the love you have is for the brother and sister in Christ that is so deep that just like if you stub your toe, your whole body feels it. Or if you have a toothache, your whole body feels it. If they have a hurt, you feel it. If they have a need, you feel it. We were lifting our sister up in prayer the other day for situations, and God performed a major miracle in how he made that come to pass for her. That was this kind of love. We should have intercession time for each of the members of our body, each of the members of our church, praying for them, letting the Holy Spirit bring about into us what we need to pray for them, and then pray for them and hold up them in prayer. I have fellow ministers that'll call me, hey, I'm just checking in with you. How are you doing? God's had me on your heart, had you on my heart this week. I've really been praying for you. How are things going? I said, wow. I mean, just straight out of the blue. This is the love that we're to have. This is our commandment. Owe no man anything except for love. The thing that we owe to each one and the other is our love to them. You can't have fights and schisms and things if you're loving them to the point that Christ loved them and that Christ loved you. Let that love grow within you. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's also a manifestation of what Christ has done in you. Because they'll know you're my disciples because of the love. They'll see it. You won't have to tell them, I'm a follower of Christ. Oh, I knew that. I knew that when you walked in the door. I could tell it. I could see it all over you. I want to be around you because the heart of love is just, it just dripping off of you. As we stand in faith and work the works of God that God directs us to, we need to operate in love. Yes. Faith and love operate together. The hardest thing to do, because we're human, the hardest thing to do is to open your heart to someone not in the center circle of your family of loved ones. It's real easy to shut out someone that's not in that center circle, that inner circle of your loved ones. That's our flesh. That's our soulish nature. But as we give over to the Spirit of life in our lives, we start opening up and we start finding people that are in the center of our family that have no blood ties to us. And the love of God reaches out to them. And guess what? People start saying, I want what you've got. I want what you've got. There's something about you that's different. Did you know that Christ shows the world that he's changed us, has changed us by having us share love and concern for even the unlovely? That's how he shows the world that he's done something in you, is that they start seeing that love. They can't see him because they don't know him. But they see us, and they see what he's done in us and how we affect and manage that situation in life. And guess what? They know there's something different. Another aspect of this spirit life is power. You have a feeling I'm going to go to Acts? Well, you're wrong. Zechariah 12. I will pour out on the house of David and on the people of Jerusalem. This is Old Testament. Yeah. This is Old Testament blessing. I will pour out on the house of David and on the people of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, unmerited favor and supplication. And they will look at me whom they have pierced. Who was that? Jesus. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And they will weep bitterly over him as one weeps bitterly over a firstborn. When Israel realizes their Messiah, they will realize what their forefathers did to him. And in that, they believe that they were there too, just like we were all in Adam when Adam sinned. Because no one was born outside of the lineage of Adam. We were all there, the same as Levi paid tithes to God, yet the Levites collected tithes. It says Levi paid tithes to God through Abraham when he paid it to Melchizedek. They believe because we come through this lineage that we were there in them when that happened. As they weep bitterly when they realize who their Messiah is, my forefathers, I can trace my lineage back. He was probably one of them that was holding the nails for the Roman soldiers. Or my forefather was the high priest. He condemned him to death. They'll weep bitterly, but they're still given grace. Do we weep bitterly for what our sins did to Christ on the cross? See, we are those that pierced him. Our sins held him there. Those nails didn't. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you and you're sealed. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like picking you up and dropping you into the bucket of the Holy Spirit. You are baptized into the Holy Spirit. Now, the power that you had as being a believer, you are now endued with dunamis power, the same that we get dynamite or dynamo from. You are endued with power even above being just a believer. To say there isn't that God's not going to work through someone that is sealed but not filled with the Holy Spirit is to tell all these different denominations that believe in salvation by faith alone and no second work of grace in the Holy Spirit that they can't pray for the sick, that they can't see things happen, they can't have God answer prayers. You're telling them that they're not part of the body of Christ. Being filled with the Spirit has nothing to do with being part of the body of Christ, except you have to be a part of the body of Christ before you can be filled with the Spirit. As a believer, go do the works of ministry that he says he qualifies us to do. Amen? But at the same time, understand that beyond that, he also fills you with the Holy Spirit to where you're going to do even more. Not just the fruit of the Spirit, but now you've got the Spirit all over you, baptized. Early Pentecostalism down in Oklahoma, when they left Topeka and Azusa Street hadn't happened yet, but the Holy Spirit was moving, there were so many things prayed over in the Spirit, earnestly, prophetically, that are still happening today. It's written down. There are whole ministries that have happened and sprung up and gone across the world that they prayed into existence. And people got saved and people got called into those ministries and they grew up and they're going all around the world reaching people for Christ because these people got on their knees and prayed for hours for what God was going to do. It wasn't happening then. Oklahoma wasn't even a state. It was an Indian territory. But they believed God, that God's grace was going to be poured out and that God, you know, through his Spirit, was giving them things to pray about. And they prayed these things out. Are we doing the same? Are we praying for today or are we praying for what God's going to do in the next 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years? We need to get on our knees and let the Holy Spirit speak to us and pray those things in the future. Pray God's grace into this area. There can be a mighty revival here, and there's supposed to be a mighty revival in the end times. And there's supposed to be a great falling away. Which camp do you want to be a part of? Let's start praying in the Spirit. Let's start coming to God in the power that he's already commissioned and qualified us to be, to make this world a better place for Christ. Take as many people to heaven with us as part of the body of Christ before the end of the dispensation of grace. When Christ died for us, he opened the way for God's Spirit to come to us. Before that, the Spirit couldn't. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of grace, and we think of grace as something we receive as a gift. What we receive is the blessed Holy Spirit and all that he is. I'm going to say that again. What we receive is the blessed Holy Spirit and all that he is. It's a down payment that we receive of what we will have in heaven and what we will experience in heaven. A little taste here to say, wet your whistle, because more is about to happen. You're going to receive more and more. Eternity, when you're worshiping the Lord and you get that sweet presence, we're going to be living in that like it's flowing, like thick like molasses. You're getting a taste of it here, and then you're going to say, oh, we didn't ever worship like we do now. We didn't even understand worship. We just did it blindly. We loved it, but oh my, this is so much better once we get there. We do not just receive the gift that we open and enjoy. We receive the blessed Holy Spirit that changes us. Amen. Questions. Are we changed? Are we lovely? Can others tell by your love? The word says God is love. 1 John 4:7 tells us that. Bear with me a second. I used to be able to sing that, but I'm not going to try that this morning. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, that's you, that's me. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God has manifested toward us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is the love, that not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. God's love is perfected in us. How? By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Through him sealing us by the Holy Spirit. He sealed us. Now, are we producing for him? We need to be. Is the Spirit producing in us? We should be having fruit that we bring back to God in such an abundance. More than he planted in us, should we be growing harvests of that fruit. We may have work to do after this message. We may have some time on our knees chewing on this, saying, okay, God, am I doing this? Am I doing that? Lord, what can I do? That's great, because that's what this is about. Let's go to the throne of grace, and as we get closer and closer, he starts saying, I see a spot here, I see a wrinkle there. Christ uses the word, according to Ephesians, to bring his bride to him, fully adorned, without spot, without wrinkle, through the washing of the water of the word. So let the word so minister to you, so that he can take the spots and the wrinkles away from you. Any spot or wrinkle you find in the word, it doesn't match up, ask him to take it and iron it out or wash it out. Lord, I want to show the world that I'm your disciple. Let your love so shine out of me. Let your spirit so move in me that I'm doing the works that you've qualified me to do. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for this message. And I pray that not only those that are here to listen, but those that hear this online, that you will minister to them. If they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if they believe that you raised your son from the dead, and they're able to ask Jesus to forgive them for their sins and call him Lord, they will be saved. Yes. Lord, I thank you for these people that are doing this, and I ask them to contact us and let us know so we can pray with them. Father, I pray a blessing upon everyone here that you minister your spirit deep within us, that we take this word and we mix it with faith and it become profitable for us in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Yevere kardanai veishmurecha yaradanai panav elecha vechunecha yesa aronai panav elecha vesham lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Amen. Go in peace.